Well, last week I asked you to consider something that you were thankful for. And this week I want you to think about something that you're restless about. So turn to your neighbor and share something that you're restless about in your life. Go ahead. What are you restless about? All right. Did you get to share that? Usually goes one way. You have to continue your restlessness. You know, when I think about restlessness, I think about Christmas. I love Christmas. But you know who the most restless people are at Christmas? You're the most. It's mostly the children. At Kirkwood United Methodist Church, we would have our Christmas Eve service, and there were probably 500 children there, and they would dress in red. It was a sea of red. 500 kids, and we would try to get them to settle down. This was Christmas Eve, 5 o'clock. 500 children, all dressed in red. And we would tell them, now, just for an hour, you need to think about God and God's love. And I'm telling you, there was more wiggling going on and restlessness. And they were so excited about Christmas that there was no way we could not get them to settle down. And how about you? Have you been restless on Christmas Eve? You have, haven't you? Yeah, I know I have too, trying to put those things together, some of those things. Yeah. Yep. Restlessness. It's very different for adults. So how do you feel restless? What keeps you up at night? The psalm that was read today, Psalm 77, is a psalm of restlessness, isn't it? I can't sleep. I got all these things going on around me. And I can't sleep. God, where are you in the midst of all of this? It's an exilic psalm. Exile. Away from God. God away from us. It was written during the time of exile, the Babylonian exile. It was a time when Israel was separated from their homeland. It was a time of desperation of the Jews, a time when rituals of worship and the cultural practices were eroded. Lucky they existed at all. Now, it's also considered a lost time in some ways, because people doubted the presence of God, that God was even there caring for God's people. Families were split apart. Can you imagine this? They wondered if they'd ever get back together again. Will I even see my family ever again? Time of doubt, time of trauma, a time of disorientation, and a time of restlessness. The restlessness of a child on Christmas Eve is one thing, but most of us know that there's another kind of restlessness in life. Restless about our jobs. Restless about relationships. Restless in our faith. Restless about where we live. Restless about what we've done with our lives. Or what we want to do with our lives. We can become restless about our health. We can become restless over somebody who we once loved and cared for, or still do. Some of us can even become restless over the state of the world. The Ebola virus. That makes me feel a little restless. How about you? Restlessness over the common economy. Maybe restless over what's happened with ISIS, because I don't think any of us really know right now. maybe restless over the cost of health insurance. I found out that mine was over $2,000 a month if I got a private care. Can you imagine? That makes me restless. Right? Do you ever feel restless? And I'm not here to give you any easy answers today. I don't want to try to provide some kind of band-aid for your restlessness. What I do want to offer you is a little imagination for your life. Because, folks, it's really the imagination of faith that, if found in this psalm, will cure your restlessness. And restlessness, in my opinion, can actually become a spiritual gift. Now, when we're feeling uneasy and restless, regardless of the cause, we tend to see it as something that should be fixed. Anybody out there feel that way? We need to fix this. We'll get rid of it. I don't want it in my comfort zone. Sometimes the restlessness we feel is the very gift that God is trying to give us so that we can draw closer to God. I truly believe that. Now, when I was a child, we got a puppy. Anybody ever had a puppy? Our puppy's name was Charlie, and he was a chow. Looked like a little bitty lion. He had a big old mane, and he was blonde. And Charlie did one of the strangest things. When we got him home, he would go over to the glass window that went out on our back porch, and he would look in that window and see his reflection and bark like crazy. There was nothing out there. It was just him. He was barking at himself. And we couldn't convince him that he was barking at himself. He saw the reflection, and he was barking. And that other dog seemed to be barking back. I want to suggest that the restlessness is not the enemy, even though we do a lot of barking at it. Sometimes it's what we need. Sometimes restlessness is God's way of taking us to a new place in thought or feeling or understanding. Now, surely it's the case that some of us, by our very personalities, are a little bit more restless than others. Would you agree with that? Some of you are giggling. Some of you are looking at your spouse. And some of us, by the nature of our personality, are a little more stable than others. But all of us have moments of restlessness. And I want to propose to you today that that's a good thing. I think about some of the spiritual leaders I've admired through the years. I'm going to share three of them with you from the books that I've read and encourage you to read some of these folks. But one of them is Thomas Merton. As I was driving across 64 in Indiana, I always think about Thomas Merton. I had a retreat there. I didn't work with him, but I was at the monastery on retreat that he served in and met some of the people who knew him. I read his diaries not long ago, and he was one of, in my opinion, the 20th century's greatest spiritual leaders and religious thinkers. If you've not read any of Merton, buy one of his books. There are many out there. He had an amazing way of looking at the Christian faith. And in Merton's life, there was a sense, an element of restlessness. He could talk about the peace of God. He could write about faith in Christ, but he always lived in this kind of spiritual and intellectual and emotional restlessness. But the restlessness was a part of his gift. It really was. I also think Henry Nouwen, another Catholic priest, had the same kind of influence in restlessness. I loved Henry Nouwen, and the last book he wrote before his untimely death, Sabbatical Journey, shows this side of Nouwen that desperately wanted solitude. And then when he found it, he wanted people. Isn't that great? And then when he was around people, he wanted solitude. You getting this? And when he was lecturing, he wanted to be writing. And when he was writing, he wanted to be lecturing. And when he was at home, he wanted to be traveling. And when he was traveling, he wanted to be at home. And I was talking to a lady that was working in retail this week. And she said to me, some of you might be able to relate. When I asked her, "Do you have children?" She said, "Yes. And instead of working, I'd love to be home with them. But when I'm home with them, I want to be working." Are you getting this? And I thought, oh yes, I understand. It doesn't get much better than Thomas Merton and Henry Nouwen or retail ladies. Two spiritual giants and another one who has some great spiritual insights, but they're giants who understood restlessness like we all do. Add one more to the list. Jesus. Do you ever think of Jesus as being restless? You don't think he ever grappled with these questions? This means yes, this means no. Joe says he's never quite sure when to respond. But I think that's because he's sleeping. So, no? What do you think he was feeling when Jesus prayed this prayer, "Let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, let your will be done"? A little restlessness, do you think? What do you think he meant when he prayed, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me"? Are you getting this? Let me say it clearly today. Restlessness is not a curse. It's a gift. It's especially a gift if we can bring imagination of faith to it. Look at the psalm again. The first half of this psalm, Psalm 77, is nothing but lament and question. And there's even some blame directed toward God. I've done that before too. And that's one of the responses of people who are in exile or feel like they're in exile. And sometimes people bitterly lashed out at God. I was at a funeral, and I was talking to a young lady who had lost her father. Another untimely death. And I approached her as the pastor, and when I walked up to her, I asked the question, "How are you?" That was a really stupid question. And she said to me, "I hate God." God could have stopped all this. I'm really angry with God. Now, I'm a pastor. Do you know how I responded? "If I were you," I said, "I'd be angry with God too." It's okay. God can handle your anger. And you're not the first one. Read Psalm 77. The question is, what are you going to do with your anger? Now. We spent some time talking after the funeral. And with that anger and all of that boiling up within her, she needed a place to simply share it. Talk about it. Open up about it. Did that mean that she didn't believe in God? Oh, far from it. She believed fully in God. She had a deep trust in God. She had prayed that God would do something different. And her faith was incredibly real, folks. So when you hear someone who is struggling, you don't curse them in the midst of their struggle. You accept that struggle as a part of the reality of faith. It's very much a part of real faith to do battle with the things that exist and are, that shouldn't be. And it led her to a place where she became a greater person of prayer. Okay? In the middle of the psalm, instead of blaming God for being restless, the psalmist begins reflecting on past experience, and not just any experience, but past experience with God. How God did this, how God did that, how God created something wonderful here, something amazing here, how God led Israel not once, but again and again. And the idea behind this historical reflection is that God helped us then, and God will help us now. Today is an anniversary for me. On October the 5th, 1980, Jo Catherine Ferguson died. And I was sitting next to her. And she died in my arms. She was 16. And I cried out in anger to God. And sometimes I still do. Why, God? Why? Believe me, she had much more potential than I would ever have had. Why, God? And the other side of that question is, why am I still here? I've had a lot of people ask that question. Why are you still here? Why am I here? Well, I'm here to tell you that in the midst of restlessness, we can find a faith that is deeper and stronger and purer than anything else in life. Can I explain it? No. And where was God in the midst of all of that? Do you want to know where He was? Right there. Right there. I did my first funeral at the age of 17. I was a young pastor, and I walked into the home of a widow. Her husband had died, and I was having the funeral. 17. When I walked in, I said, "I can't imagine what you're feeling. But I have lost a good friend to death. And I do know this. As God helped me through that, God will help you. I want to draw on another religious tradition before I end. Parker Palmer, another favorite writer. You've heard three of my favorites so far. Was trying to figure out what to do or where to go or how to become a person in his life. And he'd been working in D.C. for years. He had a Ph.D. trailing his name, and somehow, in spite of all of his abilities, he was restless. He didn't know where he was going to go or what he was going to do. And in the Quaker tradition that he came from, he went to the small group that he was gathering with. Isn't that amazing? Small groups, people do this. And he asked them to pray for him. One of the individuals there shared with him a prayer that sustained him. He said, "When I go through this time, I pray, have faith and the way will open. Have faith and the way will open. Have faith and the way will open." Now maybe you don't need that prayer. I don't know. But for all of you restless spirits out there, I hope you'll latch on to this little prayer with both hands. Have faith and the way will open. Doesn't mean it's easy. He struggled with this in spite of his prayer. He went to see another trusted friend, a devout Quaker whose name was Ruth. And he said, "Ruth, people keep telling me that the way will open. And I sit in silence and I pray, but the way never seems to open. And I've been trying to find my vocation, my purpose, and I don't have the foggiest idea of what God wants me to do." And Ruth said to him, "Parker, in 66 plus years of living, the way has never opened in front of me." And she paused for what seemed an eternity, and then she said, "But a lot of ways have closed behind me." And that has been the best gift. Isn't that beautiful? I hope that you'll take the faith that you have and the experience that you have, and that you will look back and see how God has been at work in your life in ways that you couldn't see at the time. And that you will use them for good as your faith grows stronger. Let go into the mystery, folks. One of my other favorite spiritual writers is Van Morrison. Do you know Van Morrison, anybody? One of my favorite songs is called Mystery. Might seem a little silly to you, but when I find myself in a restless season, that song helps me find myself again. The words go like this: let go into the mystery. Let yourself go. You've got to open your heart, that's all I know. Trust what I say and do what you're told, and all your dirt will turn into gold. Let go into the mystery. Let yourself go. And when you open your heart, you get everything you need. Maybe there's a way, a mystic road. You've got to have some faith to carry on. Let go into the mystery. Let yourself go. There is no other place to be. Maybe this I know. You've got to dance and sing and be alive in the mystery and be joyous and give thanks and let yourself go. Let go into the mystery of life. Let go into the mystery. Let go into the mystery. Let yourself go. Now you can take your pick of prayers for restless seasons. Have faith and the way will open up. Or if you like, let go into the mystery. Why not use both of them? Either way, in moments when you feel like you're in exile, when you're living in restlessness, God will teach you to live with it. God will teach you. And live into it. And God will bless in every season of restlessness. God will bless. Amen. Let us pray. Oh Lord God, there are some of us who don't know which way to turn today. Help us to let go into the mystery, to trust in your care of us, in spite of what we see and know around us, and to simply have faith and know that the way will open up, all in good time. And so we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen.